And that was a little joke about committing. You may remember in the last show we actually talked to people on the Dominican psych ward. I heard from activist and sometime lunatic Chris Brozda, who is in fact on the psych ward at the moment. Lot of pressure to have folks facing greater, a lot of conservatorships are coming up. People's rights, I think, are being given short shrift. And there's a kind of a mentality of, oh, well, because we need people, more people need mental health facilities, we somehow should take away their rights, and that's a good way to get them into hospitals and treat them. No, the way to get them into hospital is to make the facilities inviting, to make the facilities usable, to make the facilities accessible, and to start using treatments that work instead of doping people up and crossing your fingers. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of things that could be done, but I think, like with homeless services, money is being dumped into the pharmaceutical industries and middle administration. We're still at Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3, and this is still your 2 hours coming up Bathroom Spears Broadside show. I brought along a little song, which originally was called The Ballad of Mike Rotkin, but it was written around the time that Scott Kennedy was mayor, and folks agreed at that time that Scott also deserved mention, in fact, probably more than Mike Rotkin. It's to the tune of an old wobbly IWW, Industrial Workers of the World song, by Joe Hill called Mr. Block, and I am going to try to sing it over the air, so you better turn down your radios right away. And this is how it goes. Now here's a tragic story, although it isn't new, about a man elected by votes from me and you. We thought he was a radical, the liberals thought so too, but he just helped push anti-homeless ordinances through. Oh, they want to create a downtown police state. Oh, Mr. Scott, what has happened to you? You make me blue. Can it be true? Just take a look at the people you're trying to screw. Maybe soon you'll be on the streets too. The city council meeting took place one frigid night. The walls were lined with police, the council's hired might. 2 dozen business owners said that it wasn't nice to daily see the poverty our country calls a vice. The beggars, they must go. These laws will make it so. Oh, Mayor Scott, what has happened to you? You make me blue. Can it be true? Just take a look at the people you're trying to screw. Maybe soon you'll be on the streets, too. Oh, Mikey cut discussion. Actually, that's Scott. Oh, Scott, he cut discussion. He said he'd heard it all, though the line of speakers still extended to the hall. The council then proceeded to have its private talk about the proper place to sit and stand and lie and walk. And Scott, without a pause, he voted for those laws. And we're talking about the sitting ban and the panhandling ban and, of course, the sleeping ban. Oh, Mayor Scott, what has happened to you? You make me blue. Can it be true? Just take a look at the people you're trying to screw. Maybe soon you'll be on the streets, too. Oh, Scott finally got defensive, a lecture he did spout, but radical credentials weren't enough to bail him out. He says if we don't like it, for office we should run, but Scott got in and he sold out. He's not the only one. Oh, it's easy to see through this liberal fantasy. Oh, Mayor Scott, what has happened to you? You make me blue. Can it be true? Just take a look at the people you're trying to screw. Maybe soon you'll be on the... maybe soon you'll be on the streets too. And that was written by members of the Coalition to Decriminalize Poverty, which was a 1994 group which was concerned with the downtown ordinances, which were the creation of Scott Kennedy and Neil Coonerty, largely, and voted by the Kennedy-Coonerty Council. Hi, you're on the air with singer Robert Norris.
Hi, Uncle Robert. This is David Silva.
David Silva.
Don't give up your day job.
Yes.
Actually, you know, that wasn't bad.
Well, it could be bad.
You carried the tune.
Well, you and I could have done it better together.
I haven't had a voice for several weeks. My voice, even though I did seem to rise to the occasion Wednesday
yes,
night.
Yes, you did. You spoke at the Nader rally very eloquently.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that took a lot out of me. I'm back down again a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, So Scott Kennedy's coming into your show again, once again. He's coming into your show, and as he's driving into to your show, you're singing nasty songs at him. Do you think he'll turn around and turn back? Or do you think
well,
he'll show up?
I think that Scott knows my position. You know, it's not
it's
like
pretty,
it's a big
it's not
surprise.
Like a surprise. Yeah.
And I really, again, it's not. It's more the Kennedy legacy rather than the Kennedy candidacy that worries me. Though I'm not happy. You know, obviously I'd like to see. I think Kennedy would be a disaster again, and but I see the real disaster is it's in power now. So I don't know, you know. I mean,
well, I just hope his coattails doesn't drag in Hernandez, and I'm not sure what base Kennedy has left. I'm being a Chamber of Commerce Man of the Year, but being known as a flaming liberal at the same time, it kind of gives him a strong base. Except I guess the moderates and conservatives didn't put anybody of their own choosing really up for election. There's just a few people that are sort of independent. That they may or may not get behind. So I don't know what it all means at all.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that when he's there, you're talking to him, you'd ask him to explain, you know, how we had this sleeping ban repeal all worked up all through the summer of 98, you know, the talks you were left out
now
of.
Now, you are going to call in and you are going to ask him because
I
you
am,
were there. You actually, David, were sat down with Scott Kennedy and
Colin
Gillette.
He forgot to put it on the agenda.
You did.
He forgot to put
he
it on the agenda because
yes.
This next council that we have now was going to take care
you're
of it.
You're referring, of course, to the fall and summer of 1998 after the first sleeping ban repeal initiative, which many of us worked on, fell
which
short
you,
in
which
signatures.
Which you collected about two-thirds of the signatures, Robert.
Oh, well, thank you.
You did a yeoman's job. We've just about got all the data entry done, and it's just so impressive to see your name over and over and over again. You worked your butt off.
I was
of course,
man,
on this last one,
yes,
it seems that I worked my butt
you
off.
You did. I had, as I told you, little confidence in it, and so put little energy into it.
Yeah, you put a little energy. But, you know, James Nail, and there's some people that really did
a
lot.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people
but,
did.
But we had a huge number of, a larger number of people in this petition.
Right, but the thing that I wanted to point out was that you and Scott were you actually got together with Scott and Karen
Laura
Gillette.
Tucker and Paul Brindell and Karen Gillette.
Hoped to get a sleeping ban change
Don
before
Lane.
The 1998 election, and Scott gave you reason to believe that was going to happen.
He
right?
had the police support, and Don Lane had the Downtown Association support, and they both lied, because I checked afterwards, after it didn't get put on the agenda. I actually talked to the chief of police about it. And he's denied even Scott Kennedy ever talking to him about it. I talked to the president of the Downtown Association, and she denied that Don Lane ever even talked to her about it. So they just did a scam on us all summer long.
Right, and of course it was a secret scam from which some of us were excluded.
Some of you were excluded.
Yes.
By having Laura Tucker there, and having we had also. Marilyn was there.
Marilyn Weaver.
But you know when.
But the point was that Kennedy did not play straight with you. Wasn't that the point you were making?
That's the point. And if he's got some kind of excuse, I'd like to hear it. But I forgot to put it on the agenda. The next council is going to pass about it. Don't worry. Interesting.
Kennedy has said at different times he favors ending the sleeping ban. I know he said that in 1996. Kind of off to the side.
I think he's pretty much on the record on ending the sleeping ban and saying that the capping ban itself is not really humane as long as we have.
Yet for some reason throughout his candidacy he never once brought that up as a resolution in all his 8 years.
Yeah. Well, this was supposed to be the time, the summer of 98. That was supposed to be the time he was supposed to bring it up, but he forgot to put it on the agenda.
He just forgot. The guy is occasionally forgetful. I mean, let's be honest about it.
So I want to know what the truth is about that.
Well, listen, call in 20 minutes.
Sure.
Maybe you'll learn the truth.
Yeah.
I'm about to
then
play
maybe
some...
Maybe we can call in and talk about Hernandez's tendency to perjure himself when it comes to protecting police departments, too.
Well, that would be
interesting. That's going to get really exciting.
Of course, now we're going to give Michael a full opportunity to have his own show, you know. We're going to have
Rodkin?
No, Michael Hernandez. He is a council candidate, so he deserves an opportunity to come into the studio and explain his record or
I
lack
thereof.
I
think he does better when he tells different stories to different audiences. When he has one audience, it's probably pretty hard for him.
Well, we could have kind of different audiences for him, like 10 minutes to one audience, 10 minutes to another audience.
You can tell one lie to one audience and then a different lie to another audience. But when he has all one big audience, I don't think he knows how to tell the truth.
Well,
so
this could
be very difficult for
it
him.
It could be a learning experience.
Oh, could be, yeah.
Now,
Perron learned how to do it. I'm sure he could.
I have a tape you might find interesting. You may recall in March, Ralph Nader came to town, and largely, I think, to some extent, as part of your organizing.
The... I kill myself on that one.
And
yeah.
Then, of course, he was ended up schmoozing with the very people who were blocking any sleeping ban reform, to wit, Mayor Sugar.
That was my fault.
Well, I don't. Yeah, and he wasn't briefed. You were saying. So I asked him questions.
Yeah, the briefing thing fell apart, and then and then Keith Sugar went out and kissed his ass. But you know, Keith was absolutely prevented from being on stage.
I heard that. I want to congratulate you.
He absolutely threw a tizzy. I guess Chris Cronin.
But you couldn't keep old Tim Fitzmaurice out of there, I know.
Well, Tim is green. He is our vice mayor.
He's the yellowest green I ever saw, man.
Yeah. I don't exactly consider the Three Amigos, you know, our most courageous bunch.
Mm-hmm.
But if they had two more votes, there is still, I think, the sympathy that they would like to get rid of the police chief if they had two more votes. I think there is some sympathies if we could get them two more solid, really good votes. On the council, I think maybe we could get something done. I still haven't given up hope. You know me, ever hopeful.
Right.
But I also do believe that odd, weird little sleeping ban repeal that Tim Fitzmaurice put up at the very end there,
mm-hmm.
that targeted
made it worse for people in vehicles.
Made it worse. Well, it didn't make it worse. It really just really kind of repeated the status quo. But since it put it into writing, it made it kind of.
Well, it said that if you were in a vehicle, whether you were asleep or not, you would get a ticket. I mean, and current law says if you're asleep in a vehicle.
No. Current law it lists three different verbs. Even occupancy could be ticketed.
I think you're wrong, but I'll have to check the law.
Yeah, double check it. It just reiterated the one of the three verbs.
But getting back to this Nader thing,
and it eliminated the other. But I think the thing is about that what Tim proposes is that nobody, mm-hmm. including Chris Crone, ask the people that are vehicular housed if they would mind if those that aren't vehicular housed would stop being ticketed. And I think that was a real fault on Chris Crone, for Chris Crone to simply just veto Tim's idea without trying to make amendments. He promised me he'd do amendments, and he didn't do it.
He promised us, too.
Yeah, he didn't do nothing.
Tim voted for that, so what can you expect? Tim voted to table it. If Tim had voted against it, there would have been discussion. So it's not Crone's fault. It's Fitzmaurice's fault.
Oh,
Fitzmaurice could have voted to keep the discussion open, and there would have been four votes.
It was tabled?
It was tabled.
That very last.
Don't you remember on July 21st? July 25th.
Oh.
July 25th, there was the Crone thing came up, and what he did was he immediately moved. He gave a long speech and then moved to table Fitzmaurice's deal. And Fitzmaurice voted for it. So it was a done deal beforehand. So I know that you have loyalty to this Tim guy, and I don't know what to tell you. You've got to find yourself somebody new.
Well, I can tell you one. Well, yeah, we are finding. We do have two green candidates out there, and as you know, Scott Bugenthal has been absolutely for repeal of the sleeping ban from.
He hasn't come out and said so that I'm aware of.
Well, he's not campaigning on it, but he has been from the very beginning. Every single SCAN meeting, he's been very strong on repeal of the sleeping ban.
Mm.
Just as strong as Chris Crone.
I'd like to see it in his campaign literature. I'm sorry. I'd like to see him on the record with it.
Sure. Well,
he does have a kickoff coming tomorrow from 4 to 6. For today.
I believe it was yesterday.
No, it actually is today from 4 to 6.
Oh. Well,
you should get to that.
I'm not well enough to go. Plus, also, I'm on the Green Party endorsement. I'm in panels, and so until we finish our endorsements Wednesday, I really shouldn't be attending.
Well, the address for those who are interested is 11346 North Branson 40, and it's 4 to 6 today, and that's...
No, I think you have too many numbers in that address.
I don't think so. 11346 North Branson 40, really? I mean, that's
Hold
what
on
I,
a second. Hold on a second.
Check it out. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to go to the wrong. I would be like on the other side of the mountain.
That'd be up at San Jose Road or something.
Let me just finish what I was saying to you before, because I'm about to play a little tape that may interest you.
Oh, yeah.
It's Nader at the March press conference, which I had to break into. This guy was assaulting me outside. I finally got into the press conference when
I know.
I asked. Nobody asked him any questions about the local politics except me, and I asked him, what about the sleeping van? And he went through this Rotkin bullshit about affordable housing.
Yeah.
So this
he did do a little save towards the end there.
He tried, but I mean he obviously.
I cleared my throat real hard and looked at him, and he did a little save.
Right.
But he didn't get the briefing, and that was really unfortunate.
But what I did this time, because we had a similar press conference.
In Denver, he was much, much more clear.
In where?
Denver.
Oh, really? What did he say in Denver?
My mind. Okay. I'll try to see if I can.
Sure. If you remember it, let me know, or if you find it.
They're going to be running the Denver Green National Nominating Convention, the whole thing with all the keynote speakers. They're going to be running it on public access TV. We got the whole thing to them.
Well, tape it for us. We'll play it on the air if he talks
about
the sleeping
bag. Yeah, I'll be getting the tapes back.
But let me tell you that, and actually I don't even have to tell you, what I can do is I can play for you this tape of Ralph Nader's response to my questions on, I guess it was Wednesday at the press conference. You'll be able to hear his responses, which unfortunately were pretty sad.
Back in March he was still not quite as clear and as good as he should be on gay issues, and back in March he was still not quite as clear and as good as he should be on homeless issues. But since June, I think he has been.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
This
was on Wednesday that I asked him these questions, so you'll be able to hear.
Oh, this coming Wednesday? This past Wednesday?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'll have to hear that.
All right, I'll play that now, and if you want to call back, maybe you can ask if Scott shows up.
Yeah, I have some ideas I want to throw out there for people to think about. You know, let's get Dick Gregory into town. Let's have a homeless human rights, civil rights, just like they did in Washington, D.C. this weekend. We need to have the NAACP and everybody, we need to shut this city down. If in the second meeting of this new council they don't repeal the sleeping ban, we need to shut the city down, and we need to start organizing along those lines.
I like that. I like it.
Okay.
Hey, thank you, David.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
And that's the active activist, David Silva. I haven't heard his voice for a number of weeks.